Lord, say amen. Thank you, Brother Justin. What a joy to be back at Calvary Baptist Church. I think this is probably 10 or 12 years I've got this privilege to come and be a part of this Jubilee meeting. Thank you for all the cards. What a blessing it is around Jubilee time to get the cards and know that you're praying and send your greetings about the meeting. So we thank you for that. I do miss Brother Snyder, Miss Marcia tonight, but I sure understand him not being here. So let's pray for him. God would continue to touch him. And then my wife, Miss Annette, sends her regards to you. She didn't get to come with me tonight. She babysits our grandbabies. So that takes priority over me. And I agree with that. I don't have no problem with that. Not at all. So she's taking care of her grandbabies. And I do appreciate these special men God's given to get me place to place. It used to be that Miss Annette would let one of them go with me. But now she's sending two. I don't know what that means. But I sure appreciate them. What a blessing they are to this preacher. Brother David, if you'll come up. Brother Dave has been watching our live stream, and we do live stream all of our services from time to time. In the meetings, I'll sing a little bit. Now, I usually sing, Brother Allen, when the Spirit of the Lord is just so high that nobody pays attention to my singing because God's Spirit is moving. But he asked if I'd sing a little bit, and I'll do my best to sing maybe a verse in the chorus. Let me say this before I sing. A dear preacher friend of mine, and probably a lot of you, Brother Tom Lee, his daughter is here tonight, and her husband, and I just wanted to mention that. I love Brother Tom. God bless him. Faithful soldier. Faithful soldier. All right, you ready? I don't know if I'm good. Someday this stammering tongue will falter no more, and a brighter, sweeter song I shall sing. For I'll join the ransom choir on heaven's bright shore. Forever I'll praise the King. And while the ages roll, I'll keep on praising Him. And my voice will never tire or grow old. And my song shall ever be praised, the Lamb who died for me. And I'll sing it while ages shall roll. When a million years has passed in that wonderful place, my song of praise will just have begun. For my joy will never end while I look on His face, and my soul, it will never be done. Hallelujah. And while the ages roll, I'll keep on praising. And my voice will never tire or grow. And my song shall ever be praised, the Lamb who died for me. And I'll sing it while ages shall roll. Amen. Would you take your Bibles to John's Gospel, chapter number 12. John's Gospel, chapter number 12. I want to read the first three verses tonight, found in the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verses 1, 2, and 3. If you are there, say amen. If you stand for the reading of the words, you help yourself, and we'll read the Word of God together. The Bible said these words, "Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead." I want you to note the next six words in verse number 2. There they made him a supper. The Bible said, there they made Jesus a supper. And Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. You may be seated. I'm interested tonight in that one phrase found in verse number 2. The Bible said, there they made him, Jesus, a supper. It's Saturday evening. The Sabbath has ended at sundown. And Jesus is in Bethany, which is about a mile and a half to 2 miles from Jerusalem. Now, we know that the text tells us that it is 6 days before Passover. And the Passover that John gives reference to in our text tonight is going to be the Passover of all Passovers. This Passover is going to be the Passover where the T-H-E, Passover Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, is crucified on the cross of Calvary. So we're 6 days from the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus. The next day he makes his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. The Bible tells us in Matthew and Mark's account of this story that they have gathered in the house of Simon the leper. Simon the leper. They're in Simon's house. Now, we know that from the text there are at least 17 people that are gathered in the house of Simon the leper. There is Martha. There is Mary. There is Lazarus. There is Simon the leper, and there is the 12 disciples of the Lord Jesus. So there's at least 17 people that we know of from the text that has gathered in the house for this supper that they have made for Jesus. According to Jewish tradition, only the men would gather around the table. The ladies would serve. And the text speaks about that. The Bible says that Martha is doing what Martha always did. She's serving. And before we criticize Martha, may I say thank God for the Marthas that are in our local churches that serve God faithfully and do the work of God faithfully. So Martha is serving. You say, preacher, where's Mary? Well, the Bible don't tell us for sure. But I do believe that Mary is probably somewhere near the Lord Jesus. Because every time that you find Mary in the scripture, she's usually around the feet of Jesus. So I just believe Mary is somewhere close to Jesus, probably listening to what Jesus is saying. Now, these men, these 15 men, are not sitting at a table like you and I sit at. They didn't have chairs. They weren't sitting up at a table. But in Bible days, the tables were U-shaped. And they sat on what they called couches or cushions. They would lean with their elbow down. They would eat with one hand leaning on their elbow, and their feet would be back away from the table. You say, how you know that, preacher? Well, in verse number 3, the Bible says that Mary anoints the feet of Jesus with this very special spikenard. So here is Jesus, Lazarus, whom he raised from the dead, Simon the leper, and 12 disciples are gathered around this U-shaped table. Wouldn't you like to have been a fly on the wall and heard the conversation that was going on around that table? You say, Pastor David, what are you talking about? I'm talking about table talk. Table talk. Now y'all Georgia folks know what I'm talking about. I'm an only child, Pastor Justin. And don't nobody start nothing about that. When Annette and I got married and she went to our house for the first Christmas, it was me, Miss Annette, my mom, and Dad. And when we got home, Brother Allen, from that first Christmas, she said, that's the most boring thing I've ever been to in my life. You say, why would she say that, Pastor David? Because she has 7 brothers and sisters. And those 7 brothers and sisters have spouses. And they have kids. And they have grandkids. So when you went to the Johnson family Christmas, it was chaos. It was confusion. I mean, it was every person for themselves. If you got a seat, you better keep it. Because if you got up, somebody was going to get it. And it might be a long time before you got another chance to sit down. Miss Annette's mother, Miss Johnson, had some rules about when she'd feed a Sunday dinner. The children always got to fix their plates first. So they would fix the plates of all the little ones, and they would find them a place to sit in the house and then eat. Then the men folk would go to the table, and they would eat. And we would always try to eat sort of hurriedly, because after the men folk eat, then the lady folks got to go to the table and they'd sit down and eat. Well, they weren't in any hurry because the kids had been fed. The men had been fed and they had it all to themselves. And we'd hear them in there just a talking. Just a laughing. I mean, telling stories. Now, here's what they did. I got to be careful here. They shared with each other. Ain't that what good Baptists call it? We don't gossip, we just share. They shared. And you know what they were doing? Table talk. Table talk. And I believe there in the house of Simon the leper, in Bethany, when the Bible said there they made him a supper, there must have been some table talk going on around that table. Now we know from the text that the reason that they assembled was to celebrate Jesus, to make much of Jesus, to praise Jesus, to honor Jesus. You say, why do you think they did that, Pastor David? Well, the Bible tells us twice in that text, it talks about the fact that Lazarus had been raised from the dead. Just a few days earlier, Jesus had done that great miracle and raised Lazarus from the dead. And no doubt they were there celebrating the fact that Lazarus had been raised from the dead. But they were not celebrating only the miracle, but they were gathered to celebrate the miracle worker, the Lord Jesus. And isn't that what we ought to do? When we come to the house of God, should not every service be a service of celebration? Should not every service be a service where we honor Him? Should not every service be a service where we give Him praise and give Him glory? Should not that be our chief aim when we come in the doors of the local church, is to make much of Jesus? Every song, every testimony, every sermon ought to exalt Him and lift His name, because He's worthy of our praise. And by the way, when you begin to do that, God comes down and meets with you, because the psalm says He inhabits the praises of His people. Amen. Table talk. They were having table talk. So let me preach tonight for a moment or two just around that little subject of table talk. There they made Him a supper. First of all, I want to say in this text, I want to preach about the testimonies that are presented. The testimonies that are presented. Now, we know there are 12 disciples, and I want to talk about three or four of them tonight and kind of share with you some of the things they might have been saying around the table. There was the disciple by the name of Andrew. You remember him? I want to call Andrew the certain one. Andrew probably looked at Jesus and said something like this, Pastor. I remember the day that I was down by the Jordan River with John the Baptizer. And John was baptizing converts. And he saw you coming toward him. And John said something that day, Jesus, that I've never forgotten. He said something, Jesus, that day that I've never gotten over. I remember it just like it was today, when John looked at you and said, behold
found the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. And when John said that, something resonated within my heart, and I knew you were the one. I knew you were the Messiah. I knew you were the one sent from God. You were the promised one. When John said, "Behold the Lamb of God," that forever changed my life. Yeah. The certain one. And I went and found my brother, Simon Peter, and told him, "We found the Messiah. We found the Christ, the Christos, the anointed of God. We've found the Messiah." And Andrew said, "Jesus, I just want you to know that day I met you down there by the Jordan, it forever changed my life. I've never been the same since that day, and I'll never forget that day." Then I think Peter said, "Oh yes, Jesus, I remember that day and many more days. That day that Andrew brought me to you, Lord. You looked at me and you said, 'Thou art Simon, son of Jonas. But from now on your name is going to be Cephas,' which is Aramaic for Peter." And you know, Jesus, Simon meant shaky as mud. Simon meant shaky like jello. Simon meant unpredictable, unstable. You knew who I was. You knew exactly what I was. And you said, "From now on, you're going to be called Peter," which means a rock, a stone. Jesus, I just want to say to you, thank you for that day that I met you. I know I'm not everything I need to be. I know I'm not what I'm going to be. But I want to thank you that I'm not what I used to be. Thank God when I met you, you changed my life. I'll never forget that day. Peter's the changed one. Andrew is the certain one. But then there's Philip. Philip's the convinced one. Philip says something like this, "Pastor Justin, Jesus, I remember that day that you came into Galilee and you found me. And I'll never forget those two words that you spoke to me. Follow me. Follow me." Those words, Jesus, changed my life forever. And I went and found Nathanael. And I said to Nathanael, "We found him. We found the one that Moses and the prophets wrote about. Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And my life was changed, forever changed, and I'll never forget that day. Philip's the convinced one. But then Nathanael speaks up and says, "Yes, I remember that day. I looked at you, Philip, and I said to you something that I have regretted ever since. I said to you when you looked at me and said, 'We found him, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph.' You remember, Philip, I said to you this, 'Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?' And you said to me, Philip, 'Come and see. Come and see.' And as I was going to see,
I came upon Jesus, and Jesus said, an Israelite with whom there is no guile. And I looked at him and I said, how do you know me? He said, Nathaniel, I knew you before Philip brought you to me. I seen you when you're sitting down there under that fig tree. And Nathaniel said, he's the one. He's the one. He is the Messiah. He is the one sent from God. You see, Nathaniel was the convicted one. You say, preacher, what's going on around that table? I'll tell you what it is. They're having some table talk.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Some table talk. Yeah, they're just talking about him. But not only do you see the disciples, but there's two more men there. I want to call these men the delivered. The delivered. You say, who is that, Preacher David? That's Simon the leper and Lazarus. Simon the leper shows us that Jesus has power over disease. But Lazarus teaches us that Jesus has power over death. Can I like that so well? I won't say it again. Simon the leper teaches us that Jesus has power over disease. But Lazarus teaches us Jesus has power over death. Let's listen to what they say. I can hear Simon the leper as he looks at the other disciple, the disciples there, and says, boys, that's good. Oh, that's good. But I have a testimony for you. I was a walking dead man. Leprosy was destroying, diseased, defiling my life. I want you to know that I was a walking dead man. My clothes were rent. My head was uncovered. I had to walk around with a covering over my mouth. And when anybody got within 12 feet of me, I had to cry out, unclean, unclean, unclean. I had to live isolated from my family. I couldn't hug my wife. I couldn't hold my babies. I mean, I was living isolated because of this leprosy until that day that I met Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and he said, wilt thou be made clean? And he reached forth and touched me, and immediately my leprosy was dried up and my skin became white as snow. I want to give you a testimony, boys. I want to tell you about the day that my life was transformed by his touch. Transformed by his touch. Are you listening? Transformed by his touch. Within the pages of the Bible, there was no disease regarded with more terror and pity than leprosy. This is what Simon had before he met Jesus. And there wasn't any cure for leprosy. The leper was helpless and hopeless. And every day that disease ate away at their body. Leprosy disfigured their face, disposed of their fingers and toes, leaving nothing but nubs, devoured their bodies, their vocal cords, Leprosy put them away from society. But I want to tell you tonight, old Simon said, boys, I want to tell you, Jesus, I want to praise you. I'll never forget the day I met you when you reached out and you touched me and I was transformed by your touch. I believe old Simon was a little Baptist, and I believe he said, glory, 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 for the day that I was transformed by your touch. Well, old Lazarus is listened in, and now he gets the floor. And he looks at Simon and he says, Simon, that's a pretty good story. Did I hear you say that you was a walking dead man? Simon said, yes, sir. That's exactly what I said. Lazarus said, I want to tell you what I was. I was a dead man. I wasn't walking. I wasn't talking. I wasn't breathing. I was D-E-A-D, dead. But one day, after being gone to paradise for 4 days, and I want to tell you, I saw the biggies. I saw Abraham. I saw Moses. I saw David. I was there 4 days, but on that fourth day, I heard a strong, sweet voice that echoed, hallelujah, that echoed down the corridor of paradise that said, Lazarus, come forth. And I walked out of that grave, defeating death and death's power, still bound in the grave clothes. And Jesus said, loose him and let him go. I want to tell you, I live because of his power.
Amen.
Oh, Simon said, Lazarus, I was made whole, W-H-O-L-E. Lazarus said, I was in a hole, H-O-L-E. Amen. And I believe Lazarus is saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for that day I heard that strong, sweet voice that brought me back to the land of the living. You say, Pastor David, what's going on there? Table talk. They're just having table talk. They're talking about him. They made him a supper. It's all about him. Now I want to preach right here. That's the introduction. Y'all got warmed up now. Let's go to meet now. I want to talk about the truth that is prominent. There's the testimonies we've heard that are presented. But there's some truth that's prominent. Number one, there's truth for the saint. And number two, there's truth for the sinner. The truth for the saint is this. There is reason to rejoice. There is reason to rejoice. You say, Pastor David, I came in this service tonight and I'm in the greatest storm of my life. I'm facing the hardest challenges of my life. I'm in the greatest dilemma of my life. But I want to tell you, If you're saved, even though you might be in the greatest storm of your life, you might be facing the greatest challenge of your life, you might be facing the greatest dilemma of your life, if you're saved tonight, there is still reason to rejoice.
Amen.
Reason to rejoice. You say, what can I rejoice about? Well, just think about a couple of things. You and I have something in common with Simon the leper and Lazarus. Like Simon the leper, there was a day that you and I were separated from God because of our sin. Our sin had caused us to be separated from God. And we could not get to God because of that great gulf that was separating us from Him. We were unholy, God was holy. And leprosy in the Bible is a picture of sin. And sin separates us from God. And there was a day because of our sin that we were separated from God. But you see, Jesus Christ came and died on the cross of Calvary, and the cross bridged the gulf that existed between holy God and sinful men. And now sinful men that will come to holy God through the bridge of the cross of Calvary can get to God, and the sin that once separated them can be removed through the blood of the cross. I want to say thank God for the day that you and I realized that the only way that we could get to holy God was to go through the Holy Son that died on the holy cross and shed His holy blood that we could be saved. And thank God for the day that He touched us and our life was transformed by the touch. Amen. Yeah. So rejoice in that. That you have been transformed by His touch. You're no longer separated from God because of your sin. You now have access to the Father through the Son. You can go into the very holies of holies and speak to the Father because of the Son. I'm saying you got reason to rejoice. If you're saved, you're no longer an outcast. You're no longer outside the camp. You're no longer separated from God because of your sin. You have fellowship with God because of His Son and the touch that transformed you. Well, just like Lazarus, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 said we were dead in trespasses and sins. That was the day that we were spiritually dead. But aren't you thankful for the day that you heard that sweet voice?
Amen.
That strong voice. And you hath He quickened, made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. You say, Pastor, are you telling me tonight that if I'm saved, that I ought to rejoice? Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, Philippians 4, verse number 4, Paul said this, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. You know that word rejoice means this, to be glad in. Be glad in the Lord. When? When things are going good. When things are not going, yeah, always, always. You know what that word means? All along the way. From the time of your conversion to the time of your consummation. Always. All along the way. When it's good, rejoice. When it's not good, rejoice. When you're fighting hell by the acre, rejoice. When you're in the midst of trials, rejoice. You say, how can you do that, preacher? Because you're saved. You're no longer separated from God because of your sin. You're no longer spiritually dead because of your sin. Because he reached further down than you could reach up. Just rejoice all the way home. Amen. And by the way, I'll get this while I'm passing by here. By the way, when Paul wrote that, he wasn't on the beach. He wasn't in the Bahamas. He was in a prison cell, saying to them to rejoice. You say, how you do that, Pastor David? Well, let me share something with you I'm learning. Most of you here at Calvary know that I'm presently fighting a battle with cancer. 2020, they removed my left kidney with a 13-centimeter cancerous tumor, and it had metastasized to my lungs, both lungs, got tumors in both lungs, can't do surgery because I need my lungs. I can't take them both out. So I need my lungs. So I'm in a battle with cancer. The doctor says it'll never be cured unless it is cured miraculously by the Lord. And that's still a possibility. But they are trying to control it. So that means every day I get up and I fight the cancer battle. I take a chemo pill every day of my life. I go this Thursday for an immunotherapy treatment once a month. Get that. I get up. I fight that battle. I got sores on my feet from the chemo. I get exhausted, fatigued from the chemo. Every day, I fight that battle. You say, Pastor, how do you do it? I do two things every day. Number one, I cast. And number two, I choose. Psalm 55, verse 22 says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He will not suffer the righteous to be moved. So every day, I've got to get up, preacher, and I've got to do some casting. That word means put the full weight of it on him. Put it on him. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. I've got to cast cancer. Lord, I can't carry this. Got to cast it. And then I've got to choose. Did you know when Paul told those Philippians to rejoice? He was not commanding them to get emotionally happy. Because your emotions is a response from outward being stimulated. If I say to you, Brother Allen, cry, you can't cry. But if something happens outside of you that triggers your emotion, you can cry a bucket full. Sorrow, heartache, death. Your emotions are stimulated by something outside of you. So when Paul said to them, rejoice, brother, he wasn't talking about something emotional. He was talking about something volitional. Don't look at me like that. I'm just preaching you the Bible. volitional is an act of your will. You got to say in your willer, and that's not good English. I'm not teaching English, I'm preaching. You've got to say in your decider, I'm going to get up and I'm going to decide today, I'm going to be glad in the Lord. I'm going to get up and I'm going to, in my will, say, I'm going to be glad in the Lord. I'm going to choose today to be glad in the Lord. Amen. Look at Preacher Dave. It is an act of the will. It is an act of the will. You must make that decision. You must choose to be glad in the Lord. That's the only way that we can fulfill the command Paul gave us to rejoice all along the way. Because life is mountains and its valleys. Life is darkness and its light. Life is good times. Life is hard times. You say, how do you rejoice in the hard times, preacher? You have to decide in your decider. You have to volitionally in your will choose that you are going to rejoice in the Lord. And if you need a little help making that decision, just think about where you were when Jesus found you. And just think about what he did for you when he saved you. And just think about where you are right now because of his goodness and grace in your life. And if that don't do it, then think about where you're going. Your journey is going to end. And if that don't help you, you might need to get saved. Amen. So we learned something around this table. This table talk teaches us that as saints, we've got reason to rejoice. Now sometimes I've got to cast and choose more than once a day. Sometimes, Brother Allen, it's multiple times a day. By the good grace of God, I'm determined I'm going to live my life casting and choosing. Casting and choosing. I don't want to go out a whiner. I want to go out a shouter. I don't want folks' pity. I want your prayers. I want to stay faithful to the finish. And finish well. So I'm just going to cast and choose. If he don't answer another prayer for me this side of heaven, he's done none more for me than I could repay him in a million years. Amen. And by the way, in this meeting tonight, every saint of God in this building ought to be on their feet right now with their hands in the air saying, thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. I do have reasons to rejoice. Amen. Amen. I preached this the other day at our place, preacher. You say, Pastor David, do you preach sermons more than once? How many times have you sung Amazing Grace? Just gets better with age, don't it? Amen. And I got to this point right here, and our folks got on their feet, brother, and we had a Holy Ghost pep rally right there. We had 444 people on their feet shouting and giving praise to God because they were glad they were saved.
Amen.
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 You want a jubilee? Put them hands up tonight and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for getting me back to God when I separated because of my sin. Thank you for raising me from spiritual death and giving me life. Thank you for loving me enough to care for me, for bridging the gap. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. I'm done. There's reason to rejoice for the saved. Lastly, for the sinner, there's a revelation to receive. As I preached to some of you in this building tonight, you can't remember the day because you don't have a day. You can't remember the day you were transformed by the touch because you've never been touched. And you can't remember the day that you heard His strong, sweet voice because you've never heard it. But in this meeting tonight, the Holy Spirit is paying you a visit. He's drawing you, convicting you, pointing you to the Lord Jesus to be saved. You see, God's calling you tonight to His Son, so that He can save you. Can I close and say three things and I'm done quickly? Number one, it's a personal call. You know, Pastor, when He called Lazarus from the dead, He didn't say, Paul come from the dead or Peter. He said, Lazarus. He knew him by name. And He knows you by name. He knows who you are, where you are, what you've done. He knows all about you. But He loves you too much to let you go to hell without calling you to come to His Son and be saved. He's calling you tonight. It's a precise call. What do you mean by that? He said, Lazarus, come forth. When He comes calling, He don't call you to the Baptist, to the Methodist, to the Church of God. He calls you to Himself. Because denominationalism doesn't save you. Only Jesus saves you. It's a powerful call. It's a call from death to life, from darkness to light. It's a call from sin to the Savior. When I was a boy, I grew up in an old-fashioned Holy Ghost, shouting, independent, fundamental Baptist church. Now, I pastor, and if this quenches your spirit tonight, just you're going to have to get over it. I pastor a conservative Southern Baptist church. We're the most independent Southern Baptist church there is.
Yes,
amen. Amen. And I preach there just like I do here. We shout it out. We go to meet. We had 9 saved last Wednesday night. We had 1 saved this Sunday, baptized 3, had 4 joined the church, had 444 folks in the church. God's moving in power. He's all over. And I was raised in an independent fundamental church, and I'm thankful for that. Amen. I preach in more independent churches outside my pulpit than I do Southern Baptists. Somebody said, do you ask them what kind they are? Not at all. It don't bother me.
Amen.
If they let me in there to preach the Bible, that's what I'm going to do.
Amen.
I don't care what label they got on them. I'm just going to get in that book and preach it. And I thank God for my heritage. And them old saints used to sing Amazing Grace, Pastor Justin. And they'd get to the end of that song and they'd tag it with a little chorus. And they'd sing this. I've
just began to live. I just began to live when God's amazing grace came in. I just began to live. All things are passed away. I have a brighter day. My name's recorded up above. I've just began to live. Them old sisters would get to singing that. And they'd have that hair up there on top of her head, you know, and that bun. And they'd get on that little chorus and they'd get to singing that and they'd shout their hair down. Amen. Shout her plumb down. And as a little boy, I'd sit there, sister, and I'd think, what in the world is this about? I just don't understand this. But I want to tell you, on March the 28th, 1976, in an old-fashioned altar, I got transformed. By touch. I heard a strong, sweet voice that came calling. And I got on my face in repentance and faith and cried out, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. I deserve hell, but you died so that I could have heaven. Come in my heart, save me. Forgive me of my sin. And you know what that day? You the pastor. You look like a preacher. Pastor, you know what happened that day? I just began to live. All things were passed away. And God gave me a brighter day. And he put my name up above. Some of you tonight need to get that done. Jesus is calling and Jesus is coming. And you know tonight that if you were to meet him, you're not ready. But he can change your life if you'll give it to him tonight. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Dave's coming. Brother Allen, you get us a song ready. We're going to sing. We're going to sing. Is there one say tonight, Pastor David? Preacher, I'm not saved. Brother Dave, if I died tonight, I don't have 100% certainty. And I'd lift my eyes in heaven. Preacher, I'm not saved. Would you pray for me? Would you pray for me? Is there one in this room? I'm not saved, Pastor. Is there one? We'll wait just a moment. I'm not saved. I'm not saved. Is there one? I'm waiting. I'm waiting. Is there one? Is there one? Maybe you say, not, Brother Dave, I am saved. I know I'm saved. Preacher, tonight the Lord. The Lord's calling one more heart. Kind of remembered when I was like Simon, separated from God because my sin, spiritually dead like Lazarus. And I remember that night, Pastor, I was transformed by the touch. And remember that night I heard that sweet voice. Maybe you just need to come hit this altar and say, I just want to thank him. I just want to praise him one more time this side of heaven. Tell him how much you love him. Maybe that's what you need to do. If it is, do it right now. Step out right now and come. Father, as we sing, thank you for this little message tonight around John 12, 2. There, they made him a supper, table talk. May it honor your son, bring glory to his sweet name. In
Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Let's stand and sing.